Kan u maken. Amen.
There is one thing I desire, one thing I see. To hide in you, abide in you, I'm yours for you to keep. You prepare a table for me, you're my portion and my cup. You are the sword, the strength, Lord, you will fill me up.
Shelter in the wilderness, whom shall I fear? You were the God that goes before me, my rock and my shield. In troubled times you will provide, I shall not want. You are my God.
Though I walk through the valley of death, I will magnify and glorify you in every breath. When the wicked stands against me, I will follow as you lead. You are the truth, the way, a lamp unto my feet.
You're my shelter in the wilderness, whom shall I fear? You are the God that goes before me, my rock and my shield. In troubled times you will provide, and I shall not want. You are my God.
For you have overcome,
you will not forsake me.
I'll wait upon you, Lord.
You are my
shelter in the wilderness, whom shall I fear? You are the God that goes before me, my rock and my shield. In troubled times you will provide, I shall not want. You are my God. You are my God.
Amen. Enjoy that good singing. Say amen. Boy, that's the truth. I know that's what the Lord is for me. Amen. Now, you want to take your Bible now and open the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 this evening. And we're going to, I really wanted to talk about getting people to church. Acts chapter 3. And I wanted to talk about getting people to church and visitation tonight. But the Lord kept putting this on my heart, I feel like, about prayer and praying. We've got people praying and fasting right now for our camp meeting and for us and for me and for our church. And God's able. He's still on the throne. If you got a special need, you know, and that's what prayer is all about. That's what it's for. That's what it's about. And it works. So tonight, we're going to talk about that just a little bit. And here in Acts chapter number 3, there's a story of the apostles, and you know this story if you're a prayer warrior. I want to know what the Bible says about prayer. And if I'm going to be a Christian, I want to know how to pray. And I want to be a prayer warrior. And I want to get an answer to my prayers. Don't you? I do. Praying is a Christian's greatest privilege. The absolute best privilege we got is that we can walk right into where God's throne is and talk to Him. And commune with God Almighty, the creator of the universe. You think about that us can talk to God. It's a privilege. Now, you've heard the little saying, prayer changes things. Everybody's heard that little saying. And that's not exactly right. Prayer touches God, and God changes things. I don't mean to be picky, but there, just because your person prays, prayer don't change things. God changes things. The right kind of prayer touches God. The reason I say that, because there's people praying all over this world that it's absolutely wasting their time. And, you know, when they're praying to other gods, there's people all over the world praying to other gods. Muslims kneel, you know, toward Mecca two or three times a day. Absolute waste. They'd be better weed eating somebody's yard, better off than praying to Allah. He's no such thing. There's no such thing as Allah, unless it's a demon or something. When a person twiddles their beads and just recites prayers, it does no good. But if a person comes to God through Jesus Christ in sincerity with a right heart, attitude, and right motive, then it causes stuff to happen. And that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. You want to pray. And it's I think that most Christians tonight are living way, way below our privileges. Way below our privileges. We're like the guy who went on a cruise a long time ago, and he don't know you, never been nowhere. He was coming, and he got him on there, and he barely had enough money to get on. And he got on the ship, and every day when they'd all go eat, he'd pull out this little bag, and he'd have cheese and crackers. Next day, pull out cheese and crackers. And he's like that about a week. And finally, somebody came to him and said, "Man, why do you eat cheese and crackers every day?" He said, "Because that's all I can afford. I can't afford these meals they got on there." And somebody said, "Man, you nut?" They said, "The meals were included. When you bought the ticket to go on this cruise, it paid for all the meals." He was eating cheese and crackers when he could have been eating steak and shrimp and lobster and whatever else they serve on there. And I'm going to tell you, that's the way Christians are. We're living off a cheese and cracker Christian life when we could be having greater and much better things. Amen? Yes, we should. So I'm trying to help you and I'm trying to help me not live below our privileges. Acts chapter 3, and look at verse number 1. It said, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer." At the hour of prayer. So in the Bible, they had a certain time to meet when they went to prayer meeting, being the ninth hour. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried," he came on a bus, "whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple," see, which is called Beautiful. They got this guy there who couldn't get there himself, who asked alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Anybody know what alms are? It's a handout, a gift, alms given, a gift. So, this guy, hold your finger there. Here's this guy, Peter and John, went up to temple because it's time to pray. You meet these people say, "Well, it don't matter if you go to church or not. I can do worship just as good at home." You can't do it like the Bible says. The Bible said they went to church at the hour of prayer. They met together and prayed. So, if I call a prayer meeting, I'm going to say, "We're going to have all night prayer meeting Friday night." You say, "I'll just pray at home, preacher's saying." No, it ain't the same. God honors it when people meet at a certain time to pray. So here goes Peter and John. There's this big old gate called Beautiful. And they find this guy that's lame, and somebody carries him over here and lays him down. That's a picture of a sinner. That's a picture of me and you before we knew the Lord. That's me and you laying there. But when we couldn't come to God, when we didn't know nothing about the Lord. Well, here comes Peter and John, and verse 3 said, they look, and he's asking an alms. He's asking a handout. Now, you know what? That's all that guy expected was a love offering. That's all he expected. In his mind, the best thing he could get from them Christians is a little gas money or a little grocery money. We was out here digging the ditch the other day. After I digging that ditch right out there, before that big rain come, I was afraid it'd flood the church. And we was pouring the rain. We was digging that ditch, and a car come around here, and I thought, well, praise God, somebody's come to help us. And a woman rolled the window down, and she said, "Y'all help people pay their light bill." she said the social services, somebody told them to come over here, we'd help them, which is a good testimony. That's a good testimony for us. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, we do sometimes." And this was on Monday, I believe. And she said, well, I need help, and they're going to turn my lights out and everything. Da, 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 da. And I said, well, you come to church Wednesday night, and I'll see what we can do. And she didn't come. And if I want help bad enough, I'd at least go to church one time for it. But anyway, that's all she expected. All she expected was a little money. She could have come and said, man, I heard y'all serve the God of the universe. I heard that y'all are going to get to go to heaven, walk on gold streets. I want to get in on this. All she thought we could give her is a little money. And it's sad. It's sad today that the best thing the world thinks we can give them is a little money. We ought to have more than that, people. A church ought to have more than that. The world can give somebody money. We, you know, and I'm going to prove that to you. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. It said this, Peter and John, Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. He thought he was going to get some money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately lifted him up. See that? That's what we do to people when they come in here on Sunday. Lift them up. And his ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered into the temple, with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So this guy's in there, he was crippled 1 minute, and the next minute he's going, woo, kicking up his heel, jumping up and down, and brother, they gave him something more than silver and gold. And listen, there's nothing wrong with helping somebody pay their bills. We help people with groceries. We help people, with financial needs sometimes. But if that's all we're doing, we ain't no church. Listen, when they come in here tonight, Sunday morning, Sunday night, people need to know that they can get help here beyond what mortal men can give them. They need to know that there's somebody in this place that can give them hope and give them life and help them walk spiritually and change their life. That's what people know. That's what happened to me when I went to church and got saved. And some of you are here tonight because the first time you came here, you thought, you know what? There's something there. There's hope there. There's something alive in this place. I want what these people got. I want God. And you know what? Peter had it. He gave it to them. Amen. They said one time the Catholic, the Pope was showing these people around all the riches of the Vatican, you know, and they're showing these gold ceilings and marble floors and tabletops, you know, and millions of dollars worth of stuff just going to waste. And he said, he looked at him and he said, see that? No longer does the church have to say, silver and gold have I none. Don't have to say that no more. And the guy looked back at him and said, that's right. But no longer does the church say, rise up and walk. And that's true too. We've got silver, we've got gold, but not many churches can reach out to somebody and say, rise up and walk. So, we're living below our privileges, people. We need to get what God had. Let me tell you a story about that. Years ago, there was a little music shop in London in the 1800s. On a cold, cold, bitter, ice cold night, this fella came in and he had an old dusty violin and he told the owner, he said, if you'll give me something for this, you can have it. It's an old violin I found in the attic. He said, and the guy said, he gave him a guinea for it, which is $5, worth $5. Guy gave him $5. He said, I'll take it, went out, I'm starving to death, and went out into the night. And the man who run that music store, he dusted it off, blew it off there a little bit like that, and he took a bow and went, you know how you do a violin, and he said it had the best sound he had ever heard. He said, my goodness, look at this thing. He got to looking down in there. It's like this little thing right here. That's a mandolin, but it's going to be a violin right now. He goes like this. And he looks in there, and he looks, and he sees that recognizes a name. Like I can see a name wrote down in there. And the name was Stradivari. And he recognized that name, and that was the famous Stradivarius violin. It had been missing for 100 years. They had searched all over England for it, and that guy brought it in, sold it for $100,000. And that guy didn't know what he had. He didn't know what he had. Hey, people, it don't do you no good to have something great if you don't even know it. I mean, this guy has $5, and it's worth $100,000. That's the way we let the devil cheat us out of our prayer life when, Lord have mercy, they ain't no telling what God would do for us if we'd pray. They ain't no telling. Now, you know, today's my Wednesday, and you know, today I pray extra, and I've been praying today, and I've been praying for the camp meeting, and we have some people in our church having marriage troubles, and I've been praying for them all day today, naming their names to God, that God would help them and get them straightened out, that God would help me, that God would help all of us, and help us to do right and do the right thing. You know what? We live below our privileges. We live below our privileges. There's a little kid over in South Africa years ago, and found a diamond. You know, they have a lot of diamond mines in South Africa. And he just found it, thought it was a pretty little thing, and put it on the shelf in their house. And a peddler came by, saw some stuff. And he said, man, where'd you get that? He said, I found it out there in the creek. And he got it, and he gave him a box of wooden soldiers for it. And he said, here. And that kid said, I'd rather have the wooden soldiers than that. Can't play with that thing. Sold it for $125,000. That was a beautiful diamond. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that kid didn't know what he had. That kid had no idea what he had. No idea. Will Mayo. There's two guys, and they're brothers, and their last name was Mayo. And they were doctors. Now, if two doctors' last name's Mayo, you think of one thing, right? Not mayonnaise. The Mayo Clinic. You think of the Mayo Clinic. And these two brothers, one of them, they began the Mayo Clinic. And you know what he said? He said, I have seen patients who were clinically dead by all standards. And he said, I've seen preachers come in, he said ministers, come in. And he said, after they prayed with them, something happened that defied medical knowledge and common sense, and then people lived. He said, I've seen it happen. He said, I've seen it happen. People were on their deathbed for all practical purposes, and people pray. And I'm going to tell you tonight, the days of miracles are not over. God can still do what He always did. He can work in your circumstance. He can work in your life. Listen, bus workers, He can fill up that bus. Marriage trouble, He can work in your marriage. Financial trouble, He can help you pay your bills. Physical trouble, He can touch you. Bo there, he just got another pretty bad report this week. Wasn't it this week, Bo? And about another tumor. And you know, that's not good news and everything. But you know what? He's praying, I'm praying, we're praying, and God's still God, and He can still touch that. He is. You say, oh, Brother Danny, he can help you with a headache, but not cancer. Listen, to God, it makes no difference. It makes no difference. He can do it. Brother Derek had a round with cancer, made it. Miss Sue had a thing of cancer and made it. And God's able to do anything. He can do it. He can do it. And that's what Will Mayo said. They said one time, they asked Billy Graham's wife, one time they said, does God always answer all your prayers? And she said, no, He does not. If He had, I would have married the wrong man several times. That's what she said. She met guys in college that wanted to marry her, and she said no, and then the Lord gave her Billy Graham. So, God does answer prayer. Let me tell you a little story here about prayer, and I'm going to say a few more things, and we're going to have some meetings tonight. I'm going to tell you a few more things, and we're going to really get down to business and pray. This is supposedly a true story. Years ago in this little old town, there's a good church that had a bunch of people on fire that loved the Lord, and somebody opened up a nightclub. And there's only nightclub in the town, only one nightclub. And boy, them Christians got burdened. And they said, oh, the devil opened up a hell hole right here in our town. What are we going to do about this wicked place there, drinking and gambling and cussing and dancing in the middle of the night? And they all got together and prayed that God would burn the nightclub down. And they had all-night prayer meetings. That's how burdened they got. I mean, they got so tore up, they'd meet up at church and pray, oh God, oh Lord, please, we don't want our kids going to a place like that. Oh God, please, Lord. And sure enough, the thing burned down. And the nightclub owner heard that they told him, they said, you know, that church up there been praying your place would burn down. He sued them. He got a lawyer and sued the church because he said they caused They're praying because my nightclub to burn down. So it goes to court. Then the Christians hired them a lawyer. Think about that. They hired them a lawyer to say, no, it didn't. Our prayers didn't have nothing to do with it. Duh. So here's the nightclub owner suing the Christians for praying his nightclub burned down, and they got a lawyer to defend them, claiming that had nothing to do with it. And when it was over with, the judge said, I don't really know whose fault it is the nightclub burned down, but one thing is clear in this courtroom. The tavern owner believes in the church's prayers more than the church people believe in them. Think about that one, y'all. Think about that one. Think about that one. Here's the church people going to court, give them a lawyer to defend them, saying their prayers wasn't answered. That's awful, isn't it? Well, there's a man one time coming through China with a missionary, and he's going through this real, real bad section, a robber-infested area in China years ago, on horseback with a missionary. And they came on a dead man. There's a dead man laying there. And they could tell he hadn't been dead long. And they said, man, these robbers, they'll come out of the bushes and knock you in the head and take everything you got. And so they prayed and made it on through. And this guide told the missionary and this fella, they said, man, we're in dangerous territory. And a few days later, he got a letter from his wife back home. And his wife back home says, are you in danger? And she named that night and said, I woke up that night at that time with a burden to pray for you. And she said, I woke up with the most overwhelming burden to pray that God would protect you. And he checked his journal. That was the same night that was going through that scary part. And he said his wife was home praying and God protected him. That same thing happened about the Titanic. There was a lady whose husband was on the Titanic. She was not. And at like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, they didn't have phones. I mean, they didn't have the news. You couldn't turn TV on and find out the Titanic sunk. They didn't even know it until like a day or... A lot of people didn't know it for a few days later. It got back to New York like the next day. And she woke up in the middle of the night and had a burden for her husband and stayed up and prayed till like 7 o'clock in the morning. And then when he finally got home, he was a survivor. He told her... He said, you know what, honey, that thing went down. He said, everybody was grabbing hold of boards and grabbing hold of pieces of boat and turned over and fighting and everything else. And he said, I grabbed on and held on. And he said, at 7 o'clock in the morning, a lifeboat come and picked us up. And she knew that was the moment that she got the victory and went back to sleep. So, y'all, we're not wasting our time when we pray. We are not wasting our time when we pray. You better remember that. We're not wasting our time. You've heard my stories. You've heard that prayer is a privilege. You've heard that prayer is the way to get to victory. I told you Sunday in Sunday school. A lot of you were not here in Sunday school class. I told you, if you've got a sin in your life, a besetting sin, or a habit, or something that you know is wrong, and you try to quit but you can't, maybe you gossip all the time, and you know you shouldn't, but you keep doing it. Or maybe it's pride or jealousy or lust or envy, or you're not paying your tithes, or you think you're better than people, or whatever. Whatever your sin is. Whatever your sin is, you get down to business and you pray 5 minutes a day about your attitude and about your heart, 5 minutes a day. I guarantee in a week you'll notice a difference. I didn't say you'd be sinless. I didn't say you'd never be tempted. I didn't say you would never commit that sin again. I didn't say that. I said you will definitely notice the difference. You will not live in sin and pray about it every day. You won't do it. You just will not do it. I mean, watch this. I didn't bring my watch. Anybody got one? You ain't got one neither? Watch. Got one? Ain't nobody in here got a watch. Lord have mercy. That's good. When you start taking them off and shaking them at me, I know it's time to shut up. It ain't got no second hand. Does it? Okay. Watch this. Okay. Thank you, ma'am. We're glad to have this young lady with us tonight. What'd you say your name was?
Leslie.
Isn't that a blessing to have her with us tonight? Amen. We're sort of informal here tonight. Let's see. Watch this. start. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, please help me not to do that. God, please help me not to have hard feelings towards so-and-so. God, please, Lord, help me to love them. Lord, help me to love that person. Lord, I know they slapped my, run over my dog. And wanted, Lord, but please, please help me to love them. Please help me. Please help me. That's 15 seconds. That's 15 seconds. Do that for 5 minutes. You ever noticed how long 5 minutes is when you're praying? It ain't like 5 minutes on a roller coaster. It's very, very long when you're praying. It's like you pray 5 minutes every day for a week. You pray 5 minutes every day for a week, and I promise you, you'll notice a difference. I promise you. I don't care if it's smoking cigarettes or if it's drinking or cussing or whatever. Anything you have a problem, your attitude, your love for your husband or wife or whatever. Pray 5 minutes. If you pray more and fuss less, you could get a whole lot more done. I mean, get down, Lord, please help me. God, please help him. God, Lord, please help me. Please help him. Please help her. Please help my kids. Please help mom and daddy. Pray 5 minutes a day, and that ain't much, about that situation. I'll guarantee you. I'm praying for the camp meeting. And the way I pray for the camp meeting, I've always done this. I pray start to end of it and pray backwards. I pray that Sunday, the Lord just bless. And then Saturday night, Saturday morning. Friday night, Friday morning. Thursday night, Thursday morning. Wednesday night. And because this is the first one coming up, and it's the last one I pray for. And boy, I'm praying the Lord bless every service. And I'm praying the devil won't let nothing happen to knock you out of coming, and a lot of other people. So, you know, when we pray, let's get down to business and pray. I want you to pray. Make you a list. Take your bulletin or something like this and write down people that you're going to invite to church Sunday. Call them up. My pastor is preaching on the Mayan calendar. Most people will know what you're talking about. The end of the world, December 21st. They're having end of the world parties. All those crazy people are meeting over there at that Mount Bucharest. Bucharest, they call it. And it's over in France. And there's like 100,000 people gathering there on that day because they believe that aliens are going to come out of that mountain and take them into the age, new age of Aquarius. Look that up on the internet if you want to see something wild. And you know what? You know what? When the rapture comes, that's the way they're going to explain it. That these aliens had to move all these religious people to get them out of the way. And I'm telling you, people, it's happening right in front of our eyes. You tell people, you got to come and hear this Sunday morning at my church. Come and bring somebody with you. Take these, and then you pray for that person. Lord, I pray for old Joe. Lord, he's hard as a rock. God, I pray you get a hold of him. Lord, I pray for my sister. Lord, that you get a hold of him. Lord, I pray for that person I work with. They say, I ain't going to that church. I've heard something about Danny Castle. Say, well, you ain't too chicken to come one time, are you? Don't knock it till you try it, amen? I mean, come and listen. You tell me you can't feel the Lord's Spirit. You tell me. You tell me you can't feel God's power. You tell me. And then, if you want to say something against it, go ahead. So I mean, put it on them, buddy. Put it on them. And let God use you. Let God use you. It drives me crazy when we have a big day and more people, because that's what it's for. It's more and more people. But anyway, prayer will help you. Before we go out on bus route Saturday, we're going to pray for boldness. So when we knock on somebody's door, if they don't come to the door, we're going to stick one of these in there. Come in the door right there. Funny, this door looks like a piano. Stick it right in there. And if somebody does come to the door, we'll say, hi, I'm Danny Castle. I'm Shining Light Baptist Church, and we're having a big day tomorrow. Our pastor's going to preach on the Mayan calendar. We would love for you and your family to come. Come on and be with him. Talk. Oh, is that your little kid there? So it looks like a little pumpkin there. Bring him tomorrow. Bring her tomorrow. Bring them all. And the Lord will bless that. But bus workers, if your bus route's down, the best thing you can do is pray and fast about it. If some of your kids has quit, pray and fast about it. Sunday school teachers, pray and fast. I'd pray until I saw the kids in my class with tears in their eyes. That's what you want. That's what you want. The Holy Ghost, you can't have it every Sunday, I understand. But you know what I mean. I want to see the Lord move on. I want to see the Lord move on. Okay? I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to have an altar prayer. And if you have a comment or a question of what I've said, you feel free, because I didn't preach tonight. I'm just just talking. I'll preach Sunday morning. Does anybody have a question or a comment or prayer request? And then we're going to come up here and pray, and then we're going to have a ladies meet together. Anybody, right quick. Answer to prayer or a prayer request. Amen.
And unfortunately, that changed it's been about 2 weeks ago now, and I'm back to my regular hours. But the last Sunday that I had the opportunity to give a little bit more, I told the Lord as I was putting that money in the tithing envelope. I said, Lord, it sure would be a blessing if you would allow me to get this amount of money.
Amen.
And then I said, but you know, I really can't. If it's done, you'll have to do it. But if you would, I'll give it. And last Tuesday at work, I received an email and was told that they had increased my hours at work.
Praise the Lord.
And the money that I'll be getting on my check will put up with my tithe up to that amount that I've been giving.
What about that? Isn't that a blessing? So actually, you're gaining money and still being able to give that. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. It's just like that thing about Todd buying us that bus. A lot of times people say, well, that's Todd. He got all kinds of money. Well, there's a reason he does.